on the road or off-road, Chevy Silverado is built for tough performance in any condition. Hit the road in a new Silverado pickup. Go to ChevyDriveChicago.com for a dealer near you. Chevy Silverado, official truck partner of the Chicago Bears.
Let's check in with Joseph Lindsley in Ukraine. And Joe, I was thinking about you and very concerned when I heard that terrible news about the Russian rocket blast at that village cafe that killed at least 51 at this point. That's the number. And you talk a lot about spending time in cafes there. You can't be safe anywhere with the Russians attacking civilian targets, can you?
Bob, indeed. And not only was a cafe in a small village hit in the Kharkiv region, but then this morning, I think it was around 7 a.m., the Russians hit the very center of Kharkiv city, that city that's 30 miles from Russia, a city where I've spent so much time the past year and a half. And it's very difficult. We see new, you think you can never get madder or sadder, and you reach new levels of that. And here right now, I don't know if you could maybe hear some of the background noise. I'm speaking to you from the Book Forum in Lviv. And there's people walking around me buying beautiful books in the Ukrainian language. And there's panel discussions about everything's about victory. And, there's a heaviness here, even though we're so far away from Kharkiv because of what has happened in the past 24 hours there. But everyone keeps going because it's very necessary to have these conversations. I just attended a panel conversation with the British journalist Peter Pomerantsev, and they were discussing the situation that is not often talked about, but the Ukrainian kids from occupied cities who've been deported into far eastern Russia, into Siberia, and re-educated and lost and disconnected from their parents. And so it was great to see foreigners, people from all over the world, here in a very serious way to find solutions and share strategies on how to fight this Russian behemoth. And so you see, you could say the little people of the world all united at events like this and at moments like this while Russia continues its barbaric, its barbarism. And, what we saw last night, for example, what happened yesterday in that village shook people so much they even stopped playing music here in Lviv. Music is very important to Ukrainians, but there was a gathering in a cafe that was part of a grocery store in a little village outside of Kharkiv city, not far from where I spoke to you a few weeks ago, where my friends are rebuilding houses in formerly occupied, now liberated villages. And these people had gathered because they were having a reburial for a friend and a father and a brother who was a soldier. And he was killed several months ago, and they wanted to bury him back in the home village. And so they all gathered for the wake. And it's almost everyone in the village now, every family in that village, someone is dead. And I think his wife was killed. So the widow of the soldier, his grandparents, his mother-in-law, they were all killed. And there is no doubt that this is a targeted attack on a gathering. Directly waiting for the moment when all these people were assembled and then trying to annihilate them. There was a very difficult video I saw today of a pile of cell phones from the victims. And the cell phones were ringing with musical tones, some of them with patriotic Ukrainian songs, and because loved ones trying to reach, their relatives and friends to see who was alive. And you just see that pile of phones and you listen to the hopeless ringing. And then as if that's not enough, and it's never enough for the Russians, this morning, the center of the city of Kharkiv was hit with the Iskander ballistic missiles. And I've been checking in and talking with people from Kharkiv all morning. And they've been through hell. I mean, the Russians were on the edge of that city in February, March 2022. The Russians tried to take over that city in 2014. And so these people are pretty hardened. They've been through hell. I've been through many missile strikes with the people of Kharkiv, and they're sturdy. They smile even during the attacks. There's no smiling there today. I talked with the manager of one of the hotels where I've stayed in the city, And she's a very joyful person. She said she's been in tears all morning because of this, the brutality of this attack on the center of the city. Others are just saying they're too overcome by anger. I was going to share some voice recordings of some of them, but they couldn't even put into words how awful they felt. But I do want to share with you a note from an American who married a woman from Kharkiv. His name is John Patterson. He lives in Doylestown. And he and his wife lived in Kharkiv for 3 years with his in-laws. And their apartment, his in-laws' apartment was hit today. I saw a video of the flat above his in-laws' flat. And, I mean, deep into the apartment, room after room, everything destroyed because of the blast. And John, he wanted to share these words. He said, "It was a terrible night as my wife, Anya, and I awoke at 3 a.m. to the sound of my mother-in-law, Tatiana, crying and knocking at our bedroom door here in safe Doylestown, Pennsylvania. Our dearest Tatiana, this is his mother-in-law, who is now a refugee in the U.S., she delivered the news that a Russian missile had struck outside their Kharkiv apartment, causing heavy damage, including killing at least one resident. All Anya and I can think about, how is this happening in 2023? And how important is it that the USA provides the necessary military technology to prevent such attacks on civilians?" And I also spoke with a member of Ukrainian parliament, the Verkhovna Rada, the High Council. She represents Kharkiv, Maria Metsenseva. Also, always a cheerful person and just, you know, very angry today. And she said, "Ukraine needs stronger air defense. Kyiv is protected, but Kharkiv, 30 miles from Russia, really needs the best technology in air defense, or is completely vulnerable to such attacks." And, you know, after the attack on the village yesterday, not far from Kharkiv city, the White House press secretary, you know, gave a nice statement saying, "We support Ukraine." But they never say victory. They never say we want victory quickly. And that's really, you know, the support, as Garry Kasparov said this week in the Warsaw Security Forum, we've got to get to the point. Do we want victory, or are we just going to have these vague messages of support? And that, you know, I reported earlier on that Chicago-based company, Mondelez, that makes Oreos and Wheat Thins, and they own Nabisco. They used to be Kraft. And you know, they on their homepage, you go to their website, "We support Ukraine." They had a corporate day of purpose on Tuesday on LinkedIn. Many Ukrainians tried to comment, and their comments were deleted. So people get away with saying they support Ukraine, but that company still does business in Russia. And so many other American companies are still doing business in Russia, a country that would target a funeral party, a wake, that would target the center of a city. And really, if this is, you know, how many times have we said it, but, you know, what will it take for people to wake up and be serious about the threat that we face from Russia? Everyone at this conference around me is serious. What will it take for people in other parts of the world to understand?
We can only hope that these horrible Russian attacks on civilian targets will make some people change their minds about support those who are questioning it. Joseph, I hope it's a quiet weekend for you, and we'll connect on Monday.
Thank you, Bob. It's a sad weekend until Monday.
Very, very sad.